When the people don't want to stop singing, the band stops. That people are just so covered with the presence of God and the power of God, and you just feel the wave after wave of that presence of God. The people don't want to move, they just want to keep singing. And they can sing the same chorus over and over for a very long time, and they just want to stand there. So we just thank the worship team this morning. Today, I called it the seven witnesses, but I found it very difficult to get what we want to call it, because the subject today covers a lot of areas. And so maybe the best way to look at it is sort of going behind the scenes a little bit, as far as witnessing to others and the environment in which we find ourselves in. As Christians witnessing to people, the other side of the table. And the verse of scripture that I've been thinking on during the week is from 1 Corinthians 2:14. And it says, "But the natural man deceiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So here the Bible is saying the natural man, he didn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, and they think it's foolishness. And how many people have you met who think the Bible is foolish? You believe in grace is foolish. And so the natural man, and tells us why he thinks it's foolish, because it's got to be spiritually discerned. And unless you are born with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God is in you, and you're walking with the Lord, you don't discern these things. They're foolishness to you. In contrast, Paul writes to the Galatian church. In Galatians chapter 1, he says, "The gospel which was preached of me is not after man." So there's something specific about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has not been designed by the mind of man. It's not been thought up by man as a religion. But the Apostle Paul said, "I had this encounter when I went on the road to Damascus, where a great light shone from heaven and threw me off a horse, and a voice spoke to me." And so he said, this gospel I'm preaching now, I never received it from any other person. He said, I received this gospel from heaven. He said, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the gospel Paul received is by revelation. And we know one thing about the Apostle Paul, he was one of the worst persecutors of the day. Imprisoning Christians, persecuting them. But when he had that revelation from God, it changed everything. And so when we go back to 1 Corinthians 2:15, it said, "But he that is spiritual," this is a person who has received the Holy Ghost, "judgeth all things," the judges things as opposed to judging people, "yet he himself is judged of no man." And this is important, because when you get to speak, you're going to get a lot of judgment on what you speak. Now in Matthew's Gospel it says, "Judge not that you be not judged." But here it's not talking about individuals. Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, is not making judgment of people. The judgment is in the things that people say. See, we don't judge people. We preach the gospel. You're judging what they're saying, because what they're saying will tell you where they're coming from. And you get an understanding of what they've been brought up, what they've got to believe. You're not judging the person, but the things that they speak. So Paul writing, he said, we're not judging people, but we judge all things. And so the Bible said, "Judge not that you be not judged." That's people. That's a matter. But here, it's not to do with the people, it's faith. And the person who's doing the judgment is spiritual. You've got to know the Lord, you've got to be walking with the Lord. And we can go through and describe what is spiritual, but in the context of 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the spiritual is this, tells us throughout the chapter. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among men that are perfect. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God. Verse 13, but which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom, teacher, but which the Holy Ghost teacher, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Notice the constant contrast. The constant comparison. God's wisdom, man's wisdom. God's wisdom, man's wisdom. So when you speak words. Paul speaks God's words. Jesus says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So one of the aspects of being spiritual is that you will know the word of God, because as you speak the word of God, you're speaking things which confound the people of earth. They confound the natural man. But you're speaking wisdom. You're speaking wisdom that comes from heaven. And this wisdom is important, as we'll find as we get near the end. But you're comparing what God has shown us with the word of God. Because everything that God will speak to us, He will always show us in the word of God. I remember watching some tapes of Kenneth Hagin when he had encounters with the Holy Spirit of God. And they said, the first thing he would always say, but where is it in the scripture? Anything that comes from God has to be compared with the scripture. Comparing spiritual to spiritual. And because of that, that's why he goes on to say in verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. See, no man can judge you when you're preaching the gospel. They might have their ideas, but the Bible says the natural man knows nothing about the spiritual things. So they can't judge you. Because he can only spiritual things can only be discerned by a spiritual person. A person who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, a person who knows the Word of God, a person who's living for God. Amen. And so we say, why can't we do it? Because a person that has been saved is adopted into God's family.
Amen.
Born of the Spirit of God, and now a spiritual person who's able to discern things, and able to discern spiritual things, and able to discern the natural man, what he speaks.
Amen.
Is that true? Is that false?
Amen.
So therefore, the natural man cannot judge you. You might feel as if you're being judged, but they can't judge you because they can't discern the word of God. In the Gospel of John, throughout John there's a portrayal by Jesus of the necessity to have an open and a constant relationship with the Father. And this position of relationship is a union of the Father through the Son. And it is not a geographical relationship, a location, but in order to do the will of God. It's rather a divine flow of the life of God coming through us. Through Christ, we receive resurrection power for our soul and our body. And we speak the words of eternal life. And we are designed to express the words of eternal life in the life of God. We're designed so that God can fill us with Himself. Why are we created? We've created for God's pleasure. They may have fellowship with Him. And so we're designed for the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And so in the indwelling of the Spirit of God, we become spiritual, and therefore we speak, and we can look at our conversations, and we can judge what's been said. But the natural man can't judge you because he cannot discern spiritual things. Now, it goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God commanded the light to shine. In Genesis, the very beginning of Scripture, the Bible said, and God created the light. And this light that God creates, this light shines into our heart. This is the gospel, the light of God shining into our heart. Because the gospel, the Bible talks about the light of God comes to shine into our heart, to reveal the wickedness of the heart, so that we can turn to Jesus in repentance and receive forgiveness of sins. But God commanded the light to shine out of darkness into our heart. So God spoke to creation, and God speaks to us, the ones that he has created. And John 8, 12 says, and Jesus spake again, saying unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So what is the light that Jesus gives? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And it goes on in the next chapter to say, but we have this treasure from earthen vessels. We have this treasure in us. The light that has shined into the darkness has shined into our hearts. And it's a treasure. And that, as we talked about Paul, he described it as a light above the brightness of the sun. The treasure is the knowledge of the glory of God. The light is Christ. He is the light of the world. And so we preach Christ. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach Jesus crucified, buried and resurrected, because we preach the gospel. But it's important, because in Romans it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So also we can say that this treasure that we have in us is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is within us, and we have fellowship with God. And so when we come back to our text, but the natural man doesn't receive the signs of the Spirit of God, because of foolishness of him. And so we have this situation that they cannot discern spiritual things, because they need to be born by the Spirit of God. Now, in 2 Corinthians 4:3, it says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Witnessing. Both in Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel, you have the parable of the sower. And the sower goes forth to sow the seed. And the seed is going to fall in all sorts of ground. Some ground is hard, rocky, others is fertile. And so the Bible tells us, when you go out witnessing and you go out preaching, your seed may land and a receptive heart. But the bells have come, the seed is hitting the stony ground. There's others who hear the first time, this excitement fade away. So you don't expect to have 100%. You expect many people to turn away. Because the Bible tells us, we sow the seed. Some of the seed, as soon as it's gone, sown, the Bible says the birds of the air come and snatch it before the person can even have time to let it germinate. So we are in this position where the God of this world is operating. And we are sowing seed, and we are coming against people who are just natural minded. They can't discern anything of the Spirit. And we sow the seeds, and some of the seeds only land with good guy.
Amen.
The Bible talks, as I said, about the fills of the air coming. And the Bible talks about these fills, and it likens them to the demon spirits coming and just grabbing, so that people are kept in darkness. So if a person sees, there's a higher probability. So when you look what type of people are more likely to respond to the gospel. People have got big problems, in need, desperate.
Yes.
People, you're not expecting to be so open to the gospel. Person has got all he needs to sustain himself, don't need anybody else to help him. Persons who are morally, I don't do these things, I don't do that. I'm a morally, I'm a good person. Why do I need the gospel? And so you have all of these people, and the Bible, of course, gives us examples in the scriptures. It talks about the Pharisees. They would look and say, I'd love to do that guy. You're righteous. We don't need to hear what you're saying, Jesus. We've got the law, we've got Moses. But this, what talk about the tax collector? The tax collector would come and hit his breath and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. You know, so the scriptures tells us and shows us the different categories of people, and that's going to be the same for us as we go and as we witness, as we speak. There'll be those who are ready and right to come into the kingdom.
Yeah.
And there'll always going to be those who are going to oppose the word of God for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible tells us it's the God of this world. And the God of this world defines the system that operates in this world. And in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So here in this passage of scripture is defining for us the system of the world, that the God of this world rules over. And the Bible tells us all these things are going to pass away. This world is going to pass away. Everything's going to pass away. There's going to be a new heaven, and there'll be a new hell. The God of this world is contrasted against the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the image of God. See, when a person receives Christ as Savior, that person receives the Holy Spirit. Thus, restoring to them the image of God that Adam lost in the garden. Jesus restores the image of God in us. For Jesus is the image of God who walked on the shores of Galilee, who walked through the streets of Jerusalem. So when a person is born again, there is this restoration that the image of God is put back into that person, born of the Spirit. And so the natural man, he doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. And he thinks they're foolishness. And that natural man requires the revelation of Jesus Christ to come. And the light of God to shine into his heart to expose the darkness in his heart. People don't like getting convicted of sin. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. People don't like that. But you know, it is one of the best things that can ever happen to a person.
Amen.
Sounds contradictory, but see, if you come under deep conviction of sin, that tells you God cares for you and God has shown you your condition before him so that you can do something about it so that one day you'll be able to stand in his presence and not be condemned. It's one of the greatest things that can happen. And yesterday, I was listening to this new song, and it's all about hell, and people going to hell, and nations going to hell. And it's quite a very, very strong, but it's the reality of the Word of God. When people are lost, they have an undone eternity. See, that Bible says here, the lusts of the flesh pass away, but what happens to the person in hell? He's listening in, tormented. The God of this world is contrasted against the light of the glorious gospel. The natural man needs a revelation from God to so that he can see his condition. And the natural man will argue with you, won't you? You go out and you do witnessing. You get the old questions, where did Cain's life from? But that's not even what the Bible says. This is what, it didn't even mean that. It means this. People will argue all about the scriptures. They will say, but where did the scriptures didn't tell you Jesus is God? You're always going for the natural man, they've always got these things. But you see, the spiritual man has discernment. And you have to realize, no matter what they say, it's you that has discernment and they can't judge you. Because they have no idea what they're talking about. They're using their natural mind to try to understand something which is spiritual, and the Bible says that's impossible. And so, they will deny the truth of the Bible. And of course, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:2, handling the word of God deceitfully. So who's behind the corruption and deceitfulness of the word of God? And like any war, there's always false information. There's always false intelligence to deceive. And the great deceiver is Satan. And all the corruptions, all the deceitfulness, always originate with him. It started in the garden when he said, as God said. Always challenging the world. Satan, the God of this world. And of course, what happens is that many people, they'll give you clever answers. They'll give you convincing arguments against the Bible. But even answers and all the cleverness will not save them in the day of judgment. And I think in Revelation, and the Bible tells us, Satan, who knows Scripture inside out, is in the business of corrupting, handling the word of God deceitfully, and always questioning what God has said. And he always uses people as his instruments. Always uses people as his instruments. You think that idea of his thoughts coming to your head is your own? Not always. In the scriptures you'll read about David, Satan put in his hand, he said, why don't you number people? He couldn't distinguish what was his own thought, what came from Satan. Ezekiel 28:17 tells us something really interesting. Because in the beginning, Satan was the anointed cherub, perfect in beauty, full of wisdom. The Bible says he corrupted his wisdom. He corrupted his wisdom. And the wisdom that he has is the wisdom that the natural man has. And his wisdom was unable to discern the word of God when it came to Calvary. Think about it. This is your great opponent in the universe. Knows the scriptures inside out. Every time he comes to you and speaks to you, he will be able to give you a scripture that sounds so good, and there might be a little one word here added or taken out. And you can be so convinced. He corrupted his wisdom. But what happens? Jesus comes. And they think, Calvary, victory. We've got the Son of God. We have triumphed. And that one moment, the power of hell sealed their fate for eternity. Because the wisdom of Satan, which is reflected in the natural man, cannot match the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God has to be spoken to himself. So we are people who are going to spread the words of God, but we need to know where the natural man is coming from, what needs to happen to them for a revelation to see them being changed. And they're walking in darkness, thinking that they are smart, and all the questions will give you the sum of their beliefs. And you can judge them because you've got spiritual discernment. And they can't judge you because they don't know what they're talking about. It might not appear that way, but that's what Scripture says. And when you go back to the Scripture, remember all the verses, God's wisdom, man's wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 2:7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known that they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Pilate wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But he was a weak man. Satan is not your weakness. You play on it. The Pharisees, well, Pilate says, for jealousy of your love of Jesus up to me. So they were manipulated by Satan as well. And Satan, he thought he was going to try him, but his wisdom was corrupted. No one can outsmart the wisdom of God. No one, because God takes his foolishness of sense. And the Lord himself tells us, you're spiritual. Start walk in your spirituality, know the word of God, be able to judge what people are saying, so that you can bring them to the truth of the life of God, so that the light will shine into a heart will change them. And so here it said, but the natural man, he didn't receive the signs of the Spirit. Because they have to be spiritually discerned. So when we're going out and we're doing witnessing and we're preaching the gospel, we're coming up against natural people. And we are sowing seeds in the ground. Some will be fertile, some won't. But behind any of the arguments, any of the things they're coming up with, you can judge them from where they're coming from, because you are able to judge all things because you're spiritual. You can speak the word of God. And you can show them from the word of God so that those who come might have a revelation of Jesus and be taken from where they are and brought out of their sin, out of darkness, to start to live for Christ. And this is a privilege that each one of you have who walks in the light as Jesus is light. You've got this ability to be able to discern the things which people speak. You're able to stand there and say, no. You're able to say, no, the Bible doesn't mean that. The Bible means this is what it says. You have that ability, that's what you're called to do, and the Lord is with you. Because you are spiritual, born by the Spirit of God, and living for Jesus. And so the enemy who is behind the God of this world, his wisdom is corrupted, and you're going to come against people whose wisdom is corrupted. But you stand and you judge, and you speak the word of God accordingly, and there will be lives changed and transformed as we hear the word of God and the light of God shines into our hearts. There's a story basically about a person being caught for committing crimes. One person can realize that is the kind of person I am. That is the sinfulness of my heart. This is me. I want to be changed. Another person will come in and they'll say things, but really, and my heart's not changed. I would do the same thing again if opportunity came. We're looking, as we preach the gospel, for these people the Holy Spirit's working with to start to get disturbed and realize, I am a sinner. I need to be saved. And so as we go forth, stand in the word of God, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they've got to be spiritually discerned. And so they need to be converted. They've got to have that encounter with God that their sins might be forgiven, so that they can know the Lord. And so as we continue to go and preach in the open airs, let's go with boldness, knowing we have a Father to take, and that we are the ones that are able to discern what people are.